thankful that you're here. I truly am. My phone just absolutely blew up with people that are going to be gone, homesick, or here or there, or what have you. A lot of people are sick in the hospital right now with some serious illnesses. And so it's good to see a nice crowd here. Chapter 1, verse 2, the book of James, it just says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." So I'd like to, for a few moments, preach to you on the topic emotion sickness. And they're going to pray for us right now.
Lord Jesus, we call on you right now, Lord God. We want to hear your voice in this place. Oh God, would you speak through our shepherd, Lord Jesus? Whatever word you have given him to share with us, Lord Jesus, let him be able to speak it exactly how you want, that is pleasing in your sight, Lord Jesus. Let not people see or hear him in this place, oh God, but let people hear your voice and see what you want them to see. God, take them to where you want to take them in this place in the next few moments, that we can receive your word and leave here and strengthened and empowered in the wisdom and strength of the Holy Ghost, and get rest in our spirits before we leave here. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you. I want to take this verse apart a little bit. If you give me some time, how many of you are too tired to pay attention? Say amen. Well, you better figure out how to pay attention real fast. You just wasted your time and mine and God's. Yeah, that didn't work. Somebody take these for now, please. So, the apostle here is speaking about counting it joy when you fall into different temptations. There's nobody that I really know that really considers it a joyous thing. So he explains to us that, and he said, know this, that when your faith is tried, it works patience. And then he said, and let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. Let patience have its perfect work, so you're not lacking in anything. So then he goes on to say, but if you lack in wisdom, he said, ask God. He gives it to all men liberally. But he said, let him ask in faith, do not waver. The word wavering means to separate or to withdraw. That is the derivative of this word scripturally. It also means to become unsteady, to begin to fail or give way, to shake or tremble, to feel or show doubt or indecision. Now, when you read or you hear some of these definitions of wavering, you might think of what you do when you get upset or when you get emotional, when you get angry. You get jealous. I've seen people shake or tremble when they get really angry. They're wavering. You see, it's not just anger. You are beginning to waver in your spirit. And he goes on to tell us, don't waver when you're asking of the Lord, because if you waver, you're like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now, I wish that I could get a few people that that would try to tune in with me just for a couple minutes. Because I could help you understand why you lack some stability in your life or why you struggled to get some stability. You may think it's by choice, but it's not by choice. It's because you waver. You may waver in your faith. I don't waver in my faith. Sure you do. Some of you still waver in your faith. You still don't believe that God put you here. That's why you're so sloppy in your attendance. You're wavering. You've not come to a resolute understanding that God knows what He's doing. And when you come to that understanding, you no longer waver. You don't waver at the preached word. You don't waver at the things that you hear that you might not agree with or dislike. But you are resolute in your faith and your trust of the Lord. You cannot say that you have faith in Him if you don't trust where He's placed you. Well, I put myself here. Oh, really? So you're saying that God is not the God of your life. You're your own God. Congratulations. That's worse. I think I would go with God put me here. Said, let no man that think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable. A double-minded man, somebody that can't make up their mind, somebody that's up and down and all around, he says they're unstable. It's like motion sickness, or we're going to call it today, emotion sickness. Now, if you've ever, anybody here ever have motion sickness? So you have an understanding of what it feels like. The word emotion, it means any strong agitation of the feelings actuated by experiencing love, hate, fear, etc. Usually accompanied by certain physiological changes. Certain physiological changes as increased heartbeat or respiration, and often over manifestation as crying or shaking. So, emotion is described as the strong agitation of the feelings actuated by experiencing certain other feelings or emotions, hate, fear, love, whatever. Like when you see some young honey that you like, your heart starts to pound and you get sweaty and your fingers get sweaty when you want to go talk to her. Or when you get so angry, you start to tremble and your lip begins to quiver. I've seen a lot of that. People try and hide their lips, just quivers, just so angry. They're beginning to waver. And logic and reason and stability is giving away to emotion. And when you become emotionally sick, when you experience this emotion sickness, what happens is you begin to become double-minded in all your ways. And a double-minded man, the Bible says, is unstable in all his ways. So, we understand what emotion is. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Genesis 4 and 6. It says, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? You see the emotion? His face begins to change. You know what it looks like. My kids know that look. I get afraid of myself. You know, it's when you're like, God, I'm gonna really hurt somebody. I gotta move. Some of you are like, yeah, Pastor, I feel that way towards you sometimes. Good. To trying of your faith worketh patience. Wroth. He said, why are you wroth? It means to glow or grow warm or get red-faced. Figuratively, to blaze up of anger, zeal, and jealousy. To be angry or to burn. Intense anger. This was the emotion that Cain experienced just before he killed his brother. Because emotion sickness will always cause you to lash out incorrectly. He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. Why are you angry? If you do well, shouldn't you be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. That means if you're not doing right by God, I can assure you sin is coming right up behind you. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, because the conversation that God had with him meant nothing. You would have thought he'd have taken that conversation and he went, and when he saw Abel, he'd have thought, well, my God, would the Lord just tell me, why am I so angry? I don't know why I'm so angry. And the Lord just said, if I do well, I'll be accepted. And why am I letting this emotion take me over? But he didn't do that because emotion causes you to lose a lack of reasoning. That's why people will kill in a fit of rage. Emotion can be the most destructive thing in your walk with God. Once you lose control of reasoning and you lose control of yourself, because that's what emotion is, or that's what it can lead to, you begin to lose control. And so Cain lost control and he forgot about what was preached that Sunday. He forgot about the word that God gave him. He forgot about the phone call from the pastor, and he grabbed a rock and he just lashed out and began to beat his brother's head in until he killed him. That's what emotion does. Contrary to Cain, we look at Matthew chapter 21, verse 12. You got that up there for me? I wrote matter instead of Matthew, so I'm trying to fix it. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Do you know what the biggest mistake we've ever made about this text? I've done it too. We've said, Jesus got angry too. Really? That's not what the Bible says at all. Actually, I'm going to show you something that I can almost assure you you've never seen. See, Jesus was not angry. He went in there on a mission. He had full control of his emotions. It wasn't this sporadic, spur of the moment, losing control of himself, flipping tables. He went in and he said, I'm going to fix this mess. Just watch. Now, I don't know if you as a parent have ever done that. I've done it. My poor kids. For 2 weeks, I watched a basketball and a skateboard lay in the grass. For 2 weeks, I said, pick it up. So I said, if that's not picked up, I'm going to throw it all in the garbage. So I came home one day, a couple weeks ago. I pulled in. There it was. I got out of my car. I closed the door calmly. I walked out in the yard, I grabbed the skateboard, I walked over, I grabbed the basketball, I walked over to the garbage can, I opened the lid up, closed it, I went inside, hello everybody, how you doing? I didn't even tell anybody. Oh, they found it. I was probably more angry when they took it out of the garbage can than I was when I put it in the garbage can. Don't act like you haven't had to do that to your kids too. That is true. But I wasn't angry. I just, that's how Jesus walked into the temple. All right, they don't want to fix this mess. Okay. Bring me a chair real quick. Hurry up, please. He walked, sit down. Jesus walked into the temple and he said, all right. And he flipped them and, how's everybody doing today? We're not going to do this in the house of God. This is the house of God. This is a house of prayer. This isn't where you sell your animals and you make money. This is a place of God. And then he walked back out. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch. See, he was calculated and in control of his emotions. Watch. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame. No, look. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. They're like, they weren't, oh my God, I'm not going in there. Man, he's flipping out in there. No, 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 no. You see, because, and this is kind of a side note, when you begin to clean up your life, revival can happen. But revival can't happen until you clean up your life. No, hold on. The moment he cleaned up the temple, those that were supposed to come to church, they felt like they could come in now and they could be a part of what God was doing. And here came the needs and there came the miracles. But now watch the next verse. Watch this. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, it doesn't say when they saw how angry he got. It said when they saw the wonderful things that he did. Nobody focused on the flipping of the tables and cleaning up the mess. No, they focused on because he had control of himself when he did it. He was in full control and they thought, wow, look at that. He's cleaning up the church. This is great, man. Now we can have some church finally. When they saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Wow, imagine that. He gets done flipping tables and whipping people and doing whatever. And the kids are in there crying a couple minutes later saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Think about that. Why? Because he was calculated and in control of his emotions. He wasn't out of control. That's what would make somebody afraid. You see, it's okay to correct. It's okay to discipline. But you've got to be in control of yourself. And I'm not just talking about children. I'm talking about life as a whole. That's why a husband that will not clean up his house and do it without getting angry and flipping out, he's out of control of himself. And she'll never respect him and never respect what he's trying to do. There you go. So by Jesus being in control of himself when he cleaned the temple, he opened the door for revival. If you want revival in your life, you want revival in your family, you got to get control of your emotions. You got to be in control of your feelings. You've got to learn to master yourself above everything and anything else. So, moving on to Acts chapter 3, verse 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Speaking of the beggar. Now, this is kind of really what I want to preach. So, you might want him getting upset at me before we're done, but I'm going to try and be honest and make my point. Oh, I feel so sorry for him. Oh, Pastor, I gave him my only $20. I felt so sorry for him. Listen to me. That's the dumbest thing you can ever do. I love you, but that's the dumbest thing you can ever do. Our world is ruled by emotions now. Everything is emotionally charged. Everything is emotionally driven. Peter didn't say, oh, I feel so sorry for him. Well, certainly we can find $5. He said, I don't have any money. He said, what you really need, I've got. You want to take my hand, rise up and walk, because that's what you really, you need to be able to provide for yourself. You don't need handouts. You need to be able to get up and go get a job. You don't need handouts. Listen to me. Trying to become Santa Claus to this world is not what God ever wanted us to do. Now, I'll get to the rest in just a second. Hang on to you people who are coming and love the poor. I'll get to that in a second. Just hold your britches. Our problem is everything we do out of emotion. I feel so sorry for him. Listen to me. You want to stop feeling sorry for people? Just pastor long enough. I'm being honest with you. Because I'm just telling you right now, we had a lot of prayer requests here, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it loud. Sometimes we don't need to pray for people. We need to go and preach to them and say, you need to repent in case God does take you out of this life. You need to get a hold of you. You're going into eternity if God doesn't heal you. You need to repent of what you've done. Now listen to me. That is what you do when you're not emotionally charged and wrapped up. You can't be so, feel so sorry for somebody that you forget that they're not even living with God. And if they slip off into eternity, they'll go to hell. And so what do? I'm not saying you go browbeat people. If somebody is going to slip off into eternity, my number one goal should be to make sure they're saved. Make sure they're ready to meet the Lord. Make sure they have prayed through. And if you've backslid a long time ago, let's pray through. Ask God to refill you with the Holy Ghost right in your hospital. But hold on a second. But that's too much work. Well, I feel sorry for them. You know, I don't want to, you know, this is not a good time for them, so let them go to hell then. Now, I'm going to preach for a second. May I preach for a second? You ain't never going to get God feeling for sorry for somebody in their state of being. It doesn't happen. But what you'll find is he'll be moved by petition and moved by sincerity and moved by hunger. Read your Bible. You cannot refute what I'm telling you when you can't back it up in the scripture. What I'm saying is the church has got to get off our little emotional roller coaster, and we need to start telling people you need to repent. You need to get a hold of God. You need to let him fix your life. Some people need to go. It's all right. I'm right. Peter didn't say, oh, I feel so sorry for him. Can we get $5 and maybe we'll go buy him some McDonald's? I'm not saying there's not times for those things. That's what you're missing. See, this blind beggar, he became a product of the system. He expected to receive something. He no longer tried to do anything to better himself. Now, I got scripture. If you want to pull out your version of the Bible and show me differently, but I'm going to show you what the Word of God says. And he said, I don't have any money, but I got something better. If you want it, I'm going to give it to you. Take my hand, stand up and walk. You want it, God will do it for you right now. Thankfully for this man, he did. Peter wasn't moved by emotions. He had control of his spirit and he knew what he needed to offer that man. He discerned through the Holy Ghost. That's not to be confused with feeding the poor or doing unto others. There's a time when there are needs. But our world is full of lazy people. Can I be honest for a moment? Our world is full of people, they just want to expect. And that's not, you don't help anybody that way. You don't help anybody. Not one bit. So what? You fed them for a day. You're going to let them starve for the rest of their life? You're going to move them into your house and give them a bed too and cook for them every day? No, I think not, would you? You teach. I'm okay. You okay? I'm okay. Okay. Let me give you some scripture. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10. Just put it up in case they don't have their Bible so they know that I'm not making this up. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. If any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some that which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Sounds a lot like our generation today. People don't want to work. They just want to walk around, sit online all day, cause drama on social media. They want to post their videos. Don't want to do anything else. Just post videos all day long. Sit there in front of the camera while you're doing your makeup, or sit in front of the camera while you're cooking your food. Look at me. Look at me. Busybodies. Can I preach? Can I get somebody to say, yes, that's where we're living right now. That's what's happened to our world. But it happened because we, the church, let's forget about them for a moment. The church has allowed itself to become emotionally charged, and we're no longer reasoning with people. Listen to me. The prodigal's father sent him away with his money and said, when you're ready to come back, I'll be here. Don't expect me to chase you down. Don't expect me to send you a little bit of money here and there because you're living in your grandmother's basement because you never got off. I could preach if I had let somebody let me preach. He didn't send him a dollar. He wasn't begging him to come home. He let him go. He let him live in a pigsty and didn't go and rescue him and bail him out of his mess. You know why? Because he'd have never got it until he got it on his own. let's see, emotionally charged people, we ruin people rather than help them. And worse, we send them to hell with a I love you and a handshake and a little passive prayer. Those years ago when I sat in the hospital, this lady that was dying and she passed away that night. Most of you know the story, but that night I went home and I felt terrible about myself. I didn't know. I wasn't convinced she was ready to meet the Lord. Well, you don't have to be. Okay, well, you can go ahead on your little emotional, oh, everybody got wings now, if you want to do that. I don't live that way. The Bible says you will know them by their fruits. Now, I'm not saying she was lost, but I wasn't convinced in my spirit. And that's a problem for me because I'm the one preached to her every week. So I said, God, I'm not gonna let anybody slip out of here again if I'm not sure where they're at. That's all. I don't want them living on the fence. I want to be sure I know. And it was that very next day. You got Chris's picture? He keeps it on hand because he knows I call for it every once in a while. But Chris came to Bible study, having spent his 11 years in prison for trafficking drugs. Wasn't supposed to be there that day. And he began to weep during Bible study. Told me that, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, Pastor, but I've been having dreams like I'm going to die. I said, well, if you feel that way, then you know what you need to do. Yeah, we went on. He kept crying. We finally stopped. I said, you want to pray? He said, yeah. We told him to lift his hands. We prayed for him. God filled him with the Holy Ghost right in my office. He fell back into the couch. He cried. He laughed. He cried. He laughed. Said he was going to get baptized the next day, which would have been a Wednesday night. Wednesday night he came. He got baptized. Thursday morning by 11 o'clock, he was on his way to the hospital. By Thursday night, he was on life support. He was dead a week later. Now, I could have done what a lot of people, oh, it's okay. Jesus loves you. It's okay. No, I said, you need to repent. You need to lift your hands and call upon the Lord. You need to ask God to come into you and fill you with His Spirit. You need to make the choice to be buried in that watery grave. And guess what? He took the last 2 days that God gave him, and he treated it seriously. And he did exactly what God would expect. And I have no doubt that man is in eternity with the Lord right now. I have none at all, because it doesn't matter how you look at what you do. What matters is what did you give yourself wholly unto the Lord? But what we do, can I preach for a minute? What we do when we're too busy living our own lives and then people die and they go to hell and then we want to put everybody in heaven. I've said this before. We want to put them on, well, you know, they were a nice person. Well, you know, you don't know their heart. You know, only Jesus knows their heart. You know, all this ridiculous stuff that we have become masters at saying. But listen, that's all the emotion. That's all, I can't bear the thought of where they might be. So I got to paint this false picture in my head. Now, I don't send anybody to hell. I'm not God. So they're in heaven, wonderful. But I have found that most people's fruits, we got someone sitting here tonight who. Their sibling died professing he wanted nothing to do with God, nothing to do with church, and the pastor put him in heaven while he preached his funeral. And they were furious. I was furious. So I called the pastor the next day, and he hung up on me. It's all right. You don't have enough backbone to talk to me? Don't have your backbone. I'm going to say it anyway. You want to be a preacher? You want to bear that title? You better start preaching the truth. Now, I'm not saying you send someone to hell at a funeral, but I will not. You can, hey, listen. You can pack your bags, and I don't want you to, but I'm just saying you can do that if you want to. You can go. I will not put somebody in heaven at their funeral if I'm not sure. I'm not doing it. I'm not standing before God and carrying that on my conscience. I mean, you're all getting nervous now, aren't you? I'm not nervous. It's okay. I don't send them to hell, but I don't put them in heaven either. Why? Because I'm not going to let everybody that's sitting there listening leave with some false sense of security. It is my job to preach this truth. And it's my job to be honest with people. And I'm not going to lie to them. Now, if it makes you feel any better, I've never had anybody leave a funeral and tell me they were upset at me. And I've had to do a lot of them I didn't want to do. Are you okay? For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now of them that are such, we command and exhort you by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Now, does that mean that we don't help provide when people have needs? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But I've met a lot of people that love to take advantage of the system. You're knocking on the wrong door here. Knocking on the wrong door. I'm not going to let you take advantage of God's money because you're lazy. Well, I'm hungry. Great. McDonald's is hiring. And they're not hiring, everybody else in the world is now. Is it okay? See, look, what I'm trying to do now is I'm just trying to be just brazenly honest, no emotions involved. Now, sure, we got to fluff things up at times. Sure, we got to put a little icing on top of stuff before we serve it. But there's also a time to be honest with people. There's also a time where we got to remove the emotions and the feelings out of it. The church cannot afford to allow ourselves to be sucked into this vicious cycle that's happening in our world today. You no doubt have heard about the school shooting in Tennessee. It was a transgender, and I'm not being funny. If I got it right, I think it was a girl biologically who identified as a guy. Well, when the news outlets began to break and share this, they said this was this female transgender, blah, blah, blah. Several news outlets, one being the New York Times, came back later and said, oh, we're really sorry. We didn't know that she identified as a man, so he, you know, blah, 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 blah. And they got eviscerated. And some people said, who cares? He, she, whatever they identify, I just killed 6 people, 3 of them 9-year-old children. You're worried about somebody being offended at your little politically correct statement. That's what happens when we allow emotion. Our world is corrupt at the very fiber of its being because we're so worried about offending somebody. I've just come to the conclusion if people get offended, they leave. If they're not, they'll stay. Simple as that. I don't really set out to offend anybody, so don't think that I do. Anybody not coming back Sunday? Be honest. Well, yes, because you're going out of town. Let's clear that mess up. Kick you off the platform. I could say more, but I won't. I've got to hurry because you're probably hungry. So watch. Satan comes into the presence of God and tries to get God worked up. What are you doing? Where are you coming from? Ah, to and fro, up and down the earth, just doing what I do, trying to get God all emotionally charged. Seriously. Rubbing in what he's doing, trying to, you know how that works. You know, what's God do? Well, God, listen, God is not an emotional being. If you ever attribute emotion to God, you have just defiled the deity of God. Because what makes God perfect, he doesn't operate off emotion. That's why he could say, get away from the mountain, I'll kill you. That's the law. Done. God says, have you considered my servant Job? He goes on with his meeting. Oh, yeah, but you won't let me touch him. Okay, you go touch him. You just can't take his life. God never, never gets wrapped up into the emotion that Satan was trying to get God rolled up in. We do. I got to hurry because I know you want to go. Do you hear what so-and-so said about you? What did he say? That's how I'm going to that church anymore. Because I'm sick and tired of people talking. Every time I go, people got something to say. I don't want to talk. You see what I'm saying? You see what Satan does? Now listen, I'm not being funny. It's what he does. No one likes me there anyway, so why should I go? Why should I bother going? I never get used. It's always the buddies that get used. Always the favorites that get used. Really? I've heard it all. Emotion. Hey, I've lost weight, so I got to put another notch in my belt. Praise God, so I keep tucking my shirt. Emotion is what causes friction in marriages and relationships. People get upset. World War III starts in the home. Before you know it, you got people cussing, and then they're late. Then they don't go to church the next week. I feel so bad because I cussed my husband. Go to church and get over it and repent. Really? So Satan is trying to rule our world through emotion, trying to keep us on an emotional roller coaster where we act off of feelings and emotions rather than logic and common sense. So we have an emotion sickness in our world that we need delivered from. We need delivered from our emotion sickness. Can I get an amen if you believe that? Political correctness. Things like offense, anger. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. You know what that means? You're allowed to get mad. You need to maintain self-control. You can't lose control of yourself. Everybody gets angry. But you can't lose yourself in the process. Jealousy. Like, I feel sorry. Acting in a way that isn't helpful to a person. We've enabled people all over this world. Now here. Let me explain to you why this matters, and I'm gonna coast to a close. I'm gonna explain to you why it matters. When you prop up the mindset out there, you got to fight that war when they get in here. And if God is not moving and people aren't jumping every week, oh, George, it used to be good, but it's dead now. I don't feel nothing. Whose problem is that? I told you last week, if you'd have been in church, that sometimes you ain't going to feel nothing for a season. But we don't live off of emotion. We live off of faith. And whether I feel something or I feel nothing, my faith says that I am with him and he is with me because he does not leave me or forsake me. But I cannot let my emotions and my feelings control my relationship with Jesus. I mean, could you come play for me so I can hurry up? That's why Peter addressed the lame man the way he did. That's why the Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. The Bible's not emotion. The Bible's logic. The Bible is reality. So back to our first text. If we are to rejoice in tribulation, we cannot do so with emotion sickness. You get in tribulation, you start blaming God. That's why God don't love me. You know God loves you. Stop being a fool. See, that wasn't emotion speaking. That was reality. The Bible says, call no man a fool. I didn't call any specific person a fool. Wherever the shoe fits, Cinderella, you can put it on. I've been a fool a lot in my life. I'm not afraid to say it. But no, seriously. If we're to rejoice in those valleys, we cannot do so with emotion sickness. We've got to ask God for wisdom. Now watch. I'm in a valley. I don't get all emotionally charged. I don't start blaming God. I don't start blaming the pastor. I don't start blaming the church because no one called me. Listen, we can't keep track of the people that are in the hospital right now. Sure, we're going to forget somebody. Can't keep track of them. We are so stretched. The church is so stretched. People are so stretched. Have a little mercy. And please understand and call me 1,000 times if you have to remind me. I'm okay with that. But don't get all emotional and blame everybody and blame God. So what do? We ask God for wisdom when we're in that tribulation. Lord, now watch this. Seriously. Hang on so I can finish this up. We get in these moments and these places in lives and we get all emotional. You know, I don't know. Why would God do this to me? I don't understand. Rather than doing what we should do. Lord, give me wisdom to get through this. Just give me wisdom. Give me wisdom on my next step. Well, that does take a little bit of work and a little time in the prayer room, I understand. But that's what we should be doing. Give me wisdom, God. Give me wisdom. And then We must not waver. Once we ask for wisdom, now understand there's going to be a season. There's going to be a little bit of a journey. Only God knows how long you're going to be on the ark. He don't tell us. So what do? I determine within myself I will not waver. Well, how do I do that? Well, you start by being faithful to the house of God during those seasons more than ever. More than ever. Well, I don't feel anything. So what? You ain't going to feel anything at home either. But here you surround yourself with people. Here, it just might be that God will turn and offer a blessing. Here, you'll be here during that right moment at the right time where the right word is spoken because God knew exactly what you needed to hear. It's like I'm just not going to say anything anymore about all the stories I tell 1,000 times over. So you just suck it up and deal with it, all right? But I recall this one time always so vividly when I was in Parma and I was in the dump. Brother Rodney, I was going through it. I just felt like, ugh, mud. I wasn't getting nothing in church. I sat there like a bump on a log. Lift your hand. And so, this evangelist is here that day, and he preaches, and I'm thinking, okay, an evangelist is here. God's going to do something for me. He gets done preaching. The altar call happens. I'm feeling nothing. The altar call finishes. You could tell the churches at that point where it's ready to end. All of a sudden, he walked back up to the microphone. He said, I just feel like we should sing this song. And it was the song. I knew that God heard me. And they began to sing Whose Report. And at that moment, I felt a release in my spirit. That's why it's so important for the music team to be in tune with God. God knew what I needed to hear at that moment. And because I didn't waver and I kept going, at the right time, at the right moment, he sent a release. And that was where my spirit was released from that valley right there. That's why you cannot waver. You cannot waver. You cannot waver. You can't separate yourself from truth, from righteousness, from kingdom principles. You cannot withdraw from the body, from submission, from the Holy Ghost. You cannot be double-minded, but we strive for stability. We must be healed from emotion sickness if the church and our families are to be healed. You may sit around your dinner table at Easter Sunday, and you may decide, well, I'm diving in. Son, you need to get right with God. Oh, I did not come over here for this. I'm not trying to pick a battle. I love you. I just felt like I needed to tell you. I'll still be your father, your mother, whoever says it. I don't care. But you need to be right with God. I don't want you to slip off into eternity and you're not right with God. Because you might die tomorrow. You don't know it. Six workers go to work at the chocolate factory in Pennsylvania. The factory blows up, they're gone. Six people go to the school in Tennessee. Shooter walks in. Six don't never go home. You go down south and you've got another factory explosion or something and 29, 39 people wind up dying, losing their life. You don't know. Nobody knows. You go on the highway, someone's tire pops off, you flip it, your car flips in the air seven times, you die. You don't know. We just don't know. So, let me read this last verse to you. It's in Proverbs 16:32, if you put it up there. Are we okay? Rochelle, how do we do? You told me we needed to come bring it again. You said it's been great. You're not fibbing? Put you on the spot. Proverbs 16:32. One thing about Rochelle, I know she won't get offended at me. At least I don't think. If somebody hears her husband saying, oh, you don't know. Just kidding. See, she got offended at him before service, so she sat behind him. Just kidding. Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The most important thing, and I'm sorry I went a little longer. The most important thing that you've got to take home with you is we have got to be masters of our spirit and masters of our walk with God. We've got to rule our spirit and not let emotion rule us. Not let feelings rule us. That doesn't mean you can't be compassionate at all. I weep for more people in private than I ever do in public. But I'm in public, I might say, you need to get your act together. Because I might feel like they don't need to be pampered. They need some tough love. And then there's a time where someone needs pampered. But when you rule your spirit, you know how to equally distribute. You know how to be led of the Holy Ghost. Stand with me if you would so I can get you moving. If all else fails and the message failed you tonight, you felt bored as all get out, come get your hair cut Saturday. You'll feel better about yourself. Kevin? I'm not saying that. I'm sorry. Kevin would get cheated if he came and made a $15 donation to get his hair cut. There's a couple of people here that are like, I hope he don't look my way now. Brad back there. Hey, Brad. Is it okay? I tried to add a little humor here to lighten up the mood, but is it okay if we just pray and ask the Lord? Remember those, ask for wisdom. Do not waver. What was the last one? I don't remember myself. Nobody else knows. Whatever it was, go back and listen to it. You'll find it. Rule your spirit and you'll make it. God will bring you through. How do you rejoice in tribulation? When you have control of your spirit. You don't allow yourself to be ruled emotionally, but you rule yourself. That doesn't mean God is not your king. That doesn't mean he doesn't rule me. I rule my spirit. He rules me. I tell myself what to do based off of the word of God, the principles, and the kingdom of God. So would you bow your heads with me? Precious Jesus, I thank you for your great goodness. I thank you, Father, for your mercy, for your patience with us, for your love. I thank you, Lord, for your understanding. And I just pray that we would each and every one have an understanding today of what I have tried, Lord, to share with these sweet people. Teach us, O God, to rule our spirit. Teach us not to be subject to emotion and feelings. That doesn't mean we cannot have emotions, but it means they don't control me. That means that I have taken charge of my walk with God. I'm not ruled by the prince of the power of this air. I'm not like one that wavereth when the wind blows and the waves kick up, but I have control of my spirit, and I pray. And I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every person in this room and every person that's at home watching right now. And I pray, Lord, that you would let this be a principle and a practice that we master, God, in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let your word now be imparted into our spirit and let it anchor, God, not to be moved again. That there would be no wavering, but we would be resolute. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Break us, come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for. Holy Spirit, lead us to your heart, oh Jesus. There is nothing we want. Yeah. Over the years, I have preached things that I've gone home wanting to bury my head in the sand a lot. The Lord knows the truth in it. I've said things to people, I've gone home, I felt horrible about myself for days. But it was things that had to be said, things that had to be preached. When you learn to rule your spirit and master yourself, you'll do what God calls upon you to do. And you won't be driven by the wind, but you'll be driven by the Word of God and by His voice. So, Brother Drone, as we sing one more time, I want you to pray that the Lord would help us be driven by His voice and not by emotion, not by the wind, but only by His voice in our relationship with Him. Pray real quick, right there.
Thank you. Thank you.